Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the first letter of St. John, the fourth chapter. We hear verses 9 through 11. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Right here in this sanctuary, at this very altar, since this chapel was constructed in 1995 or 96, there have probably been close to 300 weddings. 300 couples have probably come to take their vows right here at this altar. It'd be interesting to know how many of them are still married. I know of some that are not. I know of one that lasted just a matter of months. The first time that somebody says, I love you, to another person, that's a very important moment. Quite often, couples can remember exactly where they were when the first time they expressed love to each other, when you said those words to somebody. And at the same time, right here in my office down below, I've had numerous couples, or individuals I should say, come into me, men and women, absolutely crushed by someone they thought loved them, and suddenly that love faded away. Our culture's idea of love is pretty flimsy and pretty fickle. It basically comes down to a good feeling, something that's going to fade away with time. I think the popularity of the TV show The Bachelor is a great example of our culture today and how we view and think about love. It's in its 23rd season. It's one of the most popular shows on television. Tremendous success. And this is how our culture would teach us and how we love to watch supposedly somebody to fall in love, to have one man line up with multiple women and then go on dates with all of them and maybe more than that. And then the producers say that the most popular part of the show is the elimination process. Wow. Now that's nothing says love like the elimination process. And finally he selects one woman and picks up that rose and brings her that rose, the one that he wants to stay with him. And how long do the petals last on that rose? About as long as those couples stay together. In the 17 years that show has been running, only one couple is still together from that. Back when I was your age, one of the more popular singers at the time, he's still around but kind of retired today, it's a man by the name of Rod Stewart. He had 16 top 10 hits and singles here in the United States. He was originally from Great Britain. In 2006, he released an album of his best 18 love songs. Rod Stewart has fathered 8 children with 5 different women. He has paid out millions in alimony and child support, and he's been married 3 different times and finally has given up on marriage. And in a recent interview, this is what he said. Instead of getting married again, I'm going to find a woman I don't like and just give her a house. So that's the way our culture would like us to learn about love. That's the way our culture wants us to learn how to love. If we're honest with ourselves, we are absolutely incapable of real love, of perfect love. And it's because we are weak, sinful, self-centered, self-serving individuals. The strongest streak inside of us is not love for others, not even love for the person that you think you might love the most, but it's really love for self. Think about it. You probably would say, I love my parents, and yet think how often you and I disobeyed our parents. You probably would say, I love my siblings, and yet how often did you fight with them or pull off very selfish things with them? You probably would say you love your friends, and yet in your weak moments, you've probably even backstabbed them with comments to other people to tear down their reputation. We say we love God, we say we love Christ, and yet how often have we failed to truly love Him and stand up for Him? Now, in our text, God is going to teach us about real love. In fact, He gives you a title as a Christian. He calls you beloved, the beloved of God. What does it mean when God calls you His beloved? It's a very interesting word. Sometimes it's a word that gets translated favorite. Sometimes it's a word that gets translated as somebody who is intensely loved, a way of distinguishing that individual from others who are loved. The Holy Spirit, through the words in front of us, is really coming to us and saying, I'm going to now teach you what real love is all about. Not the love of the world that fades away, not even our best love that still is imperfect, but I'm going to teach you what real love is all about. And of all the places He takes us, it's to the body of a crucified criminal. And He has us sit down in front of the cross. And He has us say, that's love. Because this is the one who has made propitiation. That means complete payment for all of your sins. And He didn't have to. In fact, even while we were still wicked against Him, He loved us and did that for us. And so God the Holy Spirit sets you and me through His word right in front of the cross, and He says, this is where you should learn what love is like and what it's all about. The word beloved that He uses to call Christians in our text is an interesting one. You'll also find it at Jesus' baptism. Now I want you to think this through. At Jesus' baptism, the voice from heaven calls out about the Son, God's Son who's being baptized, and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's the same word that God frequently uses, as we see in our text today, for you as a Christian. Now think about that. The same intense love that God has for His perfect Son who belongs in heaven is the very title that He now gives to you. God not only, through your baptism, has given you the forgiveness of your sins, and not only has dressed you in the robe of perfection and righteousness in front of Him through faith in that Savior, but He even gives you the status of His Son. He gives you the title that He would only give to His Son, His beloved. That's how intensely God loves you. There's no higher love than the perfect love of heaven that comes from the heart of God. And that is the title, the name, the word that He uses to describe the intensity of His love for you. You can see that displayed for us in the famous parable of the prodigal son, one of my favorites when I was a child, and how that son runs off and squanders all of his money and his inheritance and finally ends up with the pigs. And then remember how in repentance he comes back to his father's house, hoping to just be one of his workers. And I love this line. This is what Jesus says. He arose and came to his father. And then listen to this. But when he was still a great way off, listen, his father saw him. That's a great line. That means he's watching for him. Even when you and I are as far away from God in the smelly pig crap that there is in this world of our sin, God is still looking for you. He's still watching for you. He's trying to seek you out. And then listen, he says, the father saw him and it had compassion. That means his gut churned for him with such love. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's how God would have us picture his love for us. As a parish pastor, I helped a number of families try to retrieve their, especially adolescent kids who had wandered away and really kind of rejected their parents and everything about their faith. And there were a number of times I worked with parents to try to counsel those kids back, and I was always so impressed with just how intense and longing that love could be inside of a mom and a dad. Sometimes to get them out at 3 a.m. in the middle of horrible weather to try and find their kid. Now, if that kind of intense love can be there in the heart of a sinful, fallen parent, just think what perfect love in the heart of God must be like. Just think how intensely the commitment that God must have for you as His child and wanting you to come to heaven. And that's what the cross of Christ is all about. When I was in Ukraine a few summers ago, a friend of mine was a pastor there, and I noticed that every time he would conduct a church service, whenever he would pronounce the forgiveness of sins, he would hold up a crucifix like this in front of his members. And even in his sermon, if he suddenly started talking about the gospel, he would pick up the crucifix and he would hold it in front of his members. And I said, I love that tradition. Why do you do that? And he said, it's the best symbol of God's love that there is. And he said, many Ukrainian Lutheran pastors do this. And sure enough, he took me into an antique store while I was over there, and that's where I found this. And there was a cross that was used by pastors to stand and hold before people. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes, the believer says. It's that wonderful love and commitment of God for you through that cross that gives you the hope someday of going to the mansions of heaven. And when we're there, we're going to find out what real perfect love is like all the time, not only from God, but from one another. Amen. Please rise for prayer. And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, through your holy word, you have called us into your vineyard. Send, we ask you, your Holy Spirit into our hearts that we may labor faithfully in your vineyard, that we may put off all sin and offense and obediently keep your word and strive to do your will and put our whole and only trust in your grace, which you have shown us so abundantly in Jesus Christ our Lord, that we may obtain eternal salvation through him. He who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.